Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 58. Real joy now and for eternity. It is well with our souls now, and it will be well with our souls for eternity. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, many people get heavenly feelings when they use a certain type of shampoo. The smell just makes people all excited. Or maybe they get that heavenly feeling when they drive their Mercedes. Or for some ordinary people, they get that heavenly feeling when they dig into a nice big tub of Häagen-Dazs ice cream of whatever flavor you like. Or they have that heavenly feeling when they get married. They've found the girl of their dreams and they're all happy. Now, I have no doubt that eating Häagen-Dazs ice cream is wonderful. I've seen the joy in people's faces when they dig in. But is it really heavenly? After 15 minutes, 15 minutes after eating Häagen-Dazs ice cream, the taste is gone. So even if it's joy, it doesn't last. Similarly, your hair gets sweaty again. You can have the best shampoo in the world, and after a while, you need to wash your hair again. So maybe it was nice, but it didn't last. Or maybe that Mercedes, there's one that I've seen parked on the street in Scarborough that was there for months and then. It used to be nice one day, but guess what happened? Got old and rusty. And what about marriage? Marriage is wonderful, but is marriage heaven? If marriage is heaven, you sure you want to go there and spend eternity? Some people have difficulties in their marriages. And what do we know about marriages? They all end, either by divorce or by death. So, are those things really heavenly? They're nice, for sure. There's something that you can have. You can have that true taste of heaven now and enjoy it, and then have it in fullness in the future. And you'll hear about that today. Our headings are three. Enjoy everlasting life in this world. Second, enjoy everlasting life out of this world. And then third, prepare for that everlasting life out of this world. Our goals are that you will rejoice in the future blessing you will find in Jesus, and you will let that motivate you to diligently work for Him now. Now, how does this article concerning life everlasting comfort you? Together, even as I already now experience in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, so after this life, I will have perfect blessedness such as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no man has ever imagined, a blessedness in which to praise God eternally. First, enjoy everlasting life in this world. Everlasting life begins in this world, and you have that guarantee now. And that results in joy, even in the midst of suffering. God was willing and able to give you eternal life. God's Holy Spirit worked in your heart and caused you to receive by faith God's promise of eternal life. And then the Holy Spirit worked in your heart and convinced you that you belong to Jesus Christ. And more than that, the Holy Spirit works in your heart to make sure you know that you were sealed and that you belong to Jesus Christ and that nothing will be able to separate you from His love. Not persecution, not poverty, nothing is able to separate you from God's love. Let's look at a couple of passages from the Scripture. John chapter 10, verse 28. Very familiar, I'm sure. Together, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. He didn't say some future time. He's saying now. I give them now. 1 John 5:13 together. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. You know you have eternal life now. God's Holy Spirit assures you that you have eternal life. And by the Holy Spirit, you cry out, Abba, Father, because you're in a new family. You left your father, the devil, and you were adopted into God's family. Now, this doctrine of eternal life is not understood by a lot of people in the Christianity. And that's why sometimes they're so sad. Especially Arminians. They believe that they can have eternal life and then they can lose eternal life. Does that make sense? If one has, here's the word, eternal life, everlasting life, how can everlasting life be lost? Eternal life or everlasting life means it will last for eternity. It cannot end. When Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will what? Will not perish, but have life that can be lost? No. Eternal life. Eternal life means that cannot end. So the one who is saved is preserved by God. Now, it doesn't mean you don't fall away from time to time. You don't stray from God. But you can never lose eternal life. Otherwise, it wasn't eternal life in the first place. This whole view of life changes when you become a Christian. Your whole view of life. You look at things differently. You belong to God. Everything else falls into its proper place. You don't live for this world anymore. You live for God. And God graciously strengthens you every day. That's what gives us joy now. But there are additional blessings that you can receive in this world as part of eternal life today. God gives us all the things too. Let's read about some of them in Mark chapter 10, verse 29 and 30. Together. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Kind of interesting that he put in persecutions there, isn't it? You'll have these things, but you'll have persecution. Now, what was the Lord saying, though? Was he saying then you will have 100 mothers? Who wants that? 100 wives? 100 husbands? It's difficult to take care of one of them. Imagine 100. That's not what it's saying here. What it's saying here is that you will have an abundance of things. Something that's worth more than houses or brothers or mother or sister or wife or child or and so on, or property for that matter. It's when you take this, the language literally, where you'll get into trouble. I know a man who uses as an excuse to have multiple wives, who says he's a Christian. Bible promised me that. So he goes and finds an extra wife. No, it's saying, look, there will be an abundant blessings. God never promised you'll be rich in this world. He promised you bigger things. That assurance of eternal life now. Now, let's consider some of those things. If you have eternal life, you don't need to worry about anything. You know, that is far more precious than a Mercedes. When you never have to worry. When you know everything is in God's hand and your future is sewn up. You know how many people with Mercedes would love to get rid of worry from their lives? And they carry the guilt that Pastor Underwater talked about last week. Carry that guilt on their backs and they're crushed by it. Yeah, they have the nice Mercedes, but they're being crushed by the weight of their sin. God removes your worries now. When people are panicking from unemployment, you won't panic. You know why? Because you know Jesus has provided the greater thing you already need. It's like somebody fussing over, well, I lost a button. Well, you have a shirt. God's provided the bigger thing. Don't panic over the small thing. That's for the world. You have that assurance. You won't fear getting sick and dying. You know better times are ahead. That time is coming when there will be no more sickness. When non-believers die, they're afraid. Watch the fear when non-believers are dying. But when death comes, you won't try to die, but when death comes, you will smile. You will have more confidence because you know where you're going. You won't fret too when a Christian dies. You know, Pastor Miller died this past week. But what comfort we have in the Lord. We will mourn, but not as those without hope. We know He isn't worried. We know He isn't in pain. These blessings all bring joy to us, though. Joy that you already have in this life. How do you get these joys in this life then? The knowledge of our eternal life? Well, you grab hold of the promises that God has given to us. And you live with that ardent hope. We'll talk about faith next time. But look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Let's read together. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So if you find that you are despondent, maybe dejected, from time to time, see if you're failing to grab hold of the promises of eternal life. Look, you are already rich now. Don't let the government steal your joy. Don't let COVID steal your joy. Don't let any disease fill in the blanks. Don't let poverty steal your joy. You have something that no one can take away. Don't rob yourself of the joy that God offers you. Let God remind you daily that you are His. Just like a husband who reminds his wife and shows his wife that he cares for her, that reassures her. So you let God reassure you that you are His for eternity. Your future is sewn up in God. Don't live in poverty and eat husks like strangers. Eat the husk of worry and depression and hopelessness. When you have your name written in heaven and know that you are in the hand of God. Enjoy the blessings of eternal life now. We move to our second point. Enjoy everlasting life out of this world. Now, having established that you have eternal life in this world, and that it is not just some future activity, let's look at the details of that life out of this world. Every believer will be taken to heaven and enjoy the fullness of life there. First, look at the biblical basis for this doctrine in the Old and in the New Testaments as well. Let's read 1 John 17, 1 through 3. Together, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You have given them eternal life, and only to the elect, to those you have given to him. John 6, 54 together. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And that, of course, is spiritually receiving the bread and wine representing the body and blood of Jesus. Romans 6:23 together. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Matthew 25:46 together. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. John 14:1 together. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, we've looked already the last time at Psalm 73, and we just read it in the first, some of that in the first service. The Old Testament saints already had that hope of heaven. Asaph in Psalm 73 said, wherever I am, if I'm here or in the grave, you're there with me. When I die, I'm in your presence. There's not a time when Christians are not in the presence of God. Look at Job himself that we touched on earlier. Job 19:27 together. Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Job longed for heaven. How deceive the Jehovah's Witnesses who may come to your door with all their zeal. How deceived they are, believing that when they die, they will cease to exist, that the soul will disappear. That's not what the Bible says. Look how many times the Bible says there's life after death. There is heaven after death. How much more you need to engage the world. How deceived. Using the same Bible, it's changed things. Now, what will you not have in heaven? There'll be no tears in heaven. There's a beautiful song written about this a long time ago, back in the 70s. No tears in heaven, no sorrows given. No sorrows in heaven. All will be glorious in that land. There'll be no sadness. All will be gladness when you join that happy band. There, the songwriter says, with your Savior, you'll live and reign forever. Practically, there'll be no corrupt politicians in heaven. And over in a Baptist church, there'll be a lot of amens there. There'll be not one corrupt politician there. You know, there'll be no whining children in heaven. There'll be no crooked civil judge telling you if you speak the truth of God's word, it's evidence of hate. There'll be no lazy husband there who'll forget to take the garbage out. No one will struggle to communicate in a foreign language. You know how difficult that is. I know for some of you who've come as a second language person to Canada, just learning the language is so difficult. You wouldn't have any problems there. Everyone will understand you. You'll understand everyone. You know, there'll not be one single husband and wife fight in heaven. How beautiful that will be. All things will be new there. Psalm 16:9, that speaks of death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and for us as well. Verses 9 and 10 together. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Jehovah's Witnesses say you'll cease to exist. The psalmist says, no way. You're not going to rot. You'll be raised up. I heard this past week a lady singing a song that I had not heard before. And she said, if you came back from heaven, she's regretting all the things that she did to her husband. She said, if you came back from heaven, I'll never let you go back. What a cruel woman that is. I know what she wants to say. I just love him. I want to be around him. But you think the husband in heaven wants to come back? That's perfection there. You don't want him to go back? Of course you want to go back, because that's the place where there'll be no more troubles, no more heartaches, no more heartbreaks. So what will characterize life in heaven? When God gives you something, it is always of the most perfect quality. His gifts are always the best. So everyone in heaven will be perfect. No one will be impatient. Each one will listen enough and talk enough. No one will bottle up things. No one will give you the silent treatment. Every single one of your needs will be met. There'll be more blessings than you can comprehend. You will have unspeakable joy. You know, you've probably seen the looks of a child when it's his birthday and there's a cake there, chocolate cake with frosting and sprinkles on top, and the child sees that cake and is like, oh, this is heaven. That's nothing. Nothing at all. Or for most men, when they're getting married and they look and they're waiting in front and they see their bride coming, and their hearts start racing and they're all excited. That's nothing compared to heaven. The man says, you ain't seen nothing yet. Something remarkable. How good is it? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Together. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Heaven is beyond anything you can imagine. You've never seen anything like it on earth. Look again, Psalm 16, verse 10 and 11 now, together. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You see the dead? People say, oh, you're dead, you're gone. No, the psalmist says, we'll be in the presence of the Lord and there's fullness of joy. Joy that never ends. You see, the joy you have when you dig into the Haagen-Dazs, 15 minutes later it's gone. This one will continue forever. Psalm 17, verse 15, together. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Now you might be joyful with your children, but that joy is quickly shattered when your children do something terrible. Not in heaven. Your life will be perpetually joyful. And here, brothers and sisters, is the biggest thing. The greatest joy you can imagine in heaven. You'll be able to see the face of Jesus when you wake up from your death. You know, it's nice to know when you wake up and you have your husband or wife next to you, or you go pick up your kids in the morning and they're in their crib and they're all excited to see you. But can you imagine what it's like when you open your eyes from death? Maybe you suffered from disease or an accident. The first thing you see when your eyes open in eternity is the face of the Lord Jesus. And he says, come, your warfare has ended. Your struggles are over. Rest in eternity with me. Eternity will be better than the sweetest spouse you ever had. And you know, no marriage, as I mentioned, lasts forever. When you're in the presence of Jesus Christ, What a day that will be. You'll be like the angels. And that's why, of course, there's no marriage there. The joys of marriage can't compare to the joy you will have in the presence of Jesus. But brothers and sisters, I must also warn you that there are others who will live too, but not in heaven. Their eyes will be opened up in hell. And they will be screaming regret. And their conscience will torture them for eternity, like that worm that never dies. And it's rightly called eternal death, because they will be eternally separated from God. What sadness that will be. Not so for you. So how do you prepare for this? How do you prepare for eternity out of this world? That's our third point. Well, you must long for heaven. Look forward to being delivered from this body and to be taken to heaven at the right time. Now, you can't hurry this. You might desire it, and you should. Look at what the Apostle Paul said to the Philippians, chapter 1, verse 23. Together, "For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." He knew how much better that was. So start with that desire for eternal life. And you see how this will bring in perspective worries about this world. Because you know where you're going. Since your rewards in heaven will be commensurate with how faithfully you serve your Savior now, you will also work hard to store up treasures in heaven that you will be able to enjoy forever. And don't worry about it if you have a lot. No one will be jealous that you have more than they have. Of course, you have no ground for boasting about your good works, because your good works, even though they're considered by God to be good, are only received as good because they're received through Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to follow while I read this last passage, because there are two words we normally have to put in. You must understand them when you're reading the scriptures. And I'll show you where they fit. Matthew 6:19 says this: "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth only." You have to understand that word there, because the Bible is not against you saving up for your retirement. You're lazy if you don't. So, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth only, where the moth and rust destroy and where the thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven also, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." Just like, remember when God says your name shall no longer be called Jacob only, but Israel also. You have to put in those words to understand the full meaning. And that's what God calls us to do. So what works can you prepare for heaven? Worship. That's the greatest work you can do. Worship God. Pray to Him. Help the poor. Be patient with the weak. Care for the weak. Know God's words. Daily confess your sins. Speak of Christ's love and of His justice. These are good works that earn treasures in heaven that you will be able to enjoy forever. Let's summarize and conclude then. As a blood-bought believer, you can begin to enjoy eternal life in this world, not by how much stuff you accumulate, because that's what people try to do. How much money can I save up for retirement? Though that is not a bad thing. But you can enjoy by the knowledge of blessings and comforts you have in your heart. Later, you will enter into eternal life in heaven and enjoy it in fullness. There you will find no night, no pain, no betrayals, no death, no destruction, no disaster, no boredom, no fear, no COVID, no cancer, and no dissatisfaction. There in heaven you will find peace and joy beyond human comprehension. never seen it, you never heard it. You can't, there's nothing you've experienced like it. You will enjoy your friends in fullness. You will be in that household of God and praise God in perfection. So brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, knowing what is waiting for you in heaven, don't worry. Don't be bothered by the fact that the wicked intoxicate themselves with the excesses of life. Don't be bothered by the fact that they seem to be in good health while your life seems hard. Their pleasures will vanish away like the dew does in sunshine. They're on slippery ground, Psalm 73, and they fall very quickly. Rather be patient as you face abuse in this life for your faith. And they will mock your faith. Young people are the ones at the brunt of this. You're looked upon as if you were foolish, brainwashed, if you believe God's word. With true and lasting joy, you can put up with a lot. Know in your heart that you belong to Jesus Christ, and that will make you face the mockings of this world. And instead of being bogged down by the insults of this world and sin in your life, love God and rejoice in hope. And more than that, show that love by your faithful obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commands. And finally, eternal life is a reward that brings joy, only for those who have peace with God through Jesus Christ. If you don't have that peace, you must pray. Pray and ask God to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as a substitute for your judgment. If you sincerely ask, He will hear and respond by giving you eternal life. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be reminded again of what we already have and should be enjoying now. If we have been distracted and by troubles, we've forgotten that we have eternal life now. Let this message serve as a reminder that we will do the work we're called to do, but we will not be worried, for our future is sewn up in Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen. 485, like a river glorious, is God's perfect peace. We'll stand to sing. and 147b, 4 through 6. Receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And God's people say, Amen.